Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by ContentSnare. ContentSnare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks and months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. ContentSnare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at ContentSnare.com. Welcome back to Agency Highway. I'm your host, James Rose, and today we're talking with Jason Resnick. Now, Jason randomly popped up on my Facebook feed. I don't even know if it was an ad or something, but I generally wouldn't expect an ad to lead to a podcast interview, but here we go. Jason, I checked out your website and I freaking loved what I saw. So I started researching you and it looks like you help with a lot of stuff. So we're obviously going to get into a few things today, but it seems like we're getting better freelance clients, recurring revenue, like all the stuff we need as businesses. And I saw that you'd been on some other podcasts like Chris Ducker's and of course Lee Jackson, who's a good friend of mine. I feel like we've had a lot of the same guests, even intentionally and accidentally. But if you haven't already, go check out Agency Trailblazer. That's Lee's podcast. Awesome dude. But yeah, so you speak at WordCamps, run your own two podcasts, which is insane. So much stuff. But I'm just going to stop there before I butcher your intro. So yeah, what do you do?
Yeah. So thanks. Thanks for having me, first of all. And yeah, Lee's great. Being on his podcast, it was fun time. But what I do is I'm a service I service clients and I'm a web developer. I especially help establish online businesses, get more sales, increase repeat sales, and create raving fans. And then I also help other freelancers, which I'm sure we'll unpack it a little bit, but I kind of fell backwards into that. And it was really on the heels of building the business that I have today and to be able to essentially like figure out recurring revenue, live in New York City. A lot of people were asking a lot of things about like, you've been doing this a long time. I just passed on 8 years full time. So, people ask a ton of questions, and over the past couple of years, I kind of formalized it to help other freelancers do the same thing that I've done.
Nice. Is that how Ask Rez, your podcast, came about?
Yeah, Ask Rez is, my second podcast. It's funny because that's actually starting to surpass the Live in the Feast, which is the seasonal podcast. But Ask Rez is kind of my way of blogging, right? Like I'm not a writer. I'm not a, for me to sit down and write a blog post is tough. But for me to do a podcast and answer a question, which that's what the Ask Rez show is, it's just a quick 5 to 7 minute show every single day that I just answer a question that I've been asked, whether it's through Twitter or whether through it's, the Feast community, whether it's through Instagram, whatever, wherever I get the question from, I answer it on Ask Rez. And I started it as an experiment. And for me, I'm notorious for experiments, right? Like social platforms, just trying to content marketing, see what works for my business and what doesn't work. And this started out as a 30-day experiment for me, this first one to see if I could do a daily podcast. Whoa. And for two to see, like, I thought like, okay, I'm starting to answer the same questions over and over again, whether, like a saying, I get through email or I get through Twitter or whatever. And I'm like, there's got to be like, instead of me going to search for the question again in my email and cut and pasting to the next person, like
link them
straight to the podcast.
That's awesome.
So that's what I started doing. And, 30 days and I kept seeing the growth and people, and for one, I didn't know if I was going to keep getting asked enough questions, right? But I just, you know, asking.
So where can, where can people find this? It's Ask Rez with two Z's, correct? Or Z's?
Three Z's.
Damn it. I was like, I thought it was three, but in my notes I've written two. I'm like, nah, I wouldn't have screwed that up, but I screwed it up.
yeah, it's AskRez with three Z's.com.
Yeah, sweet. And the other one is Live in the Feast podcast, but these will be in the show notes along with Lee Jackson's podcast and Jason's website and a whole bunch of other stuff. So yeah. now, man, when I was thinking about talking with you and we sort of were trying to decide on a topic, so many things came up because you obviously help people with a lot of stuff. I figured we'd start with a freeform chat, but it seems like to get into your lead generation system, which is one of the main things I wanted to talk about, we need to talk about specialization first, because to do lead gen, you need to know who you serve. And then that's when you mentioned, you said you have a specific framework or whatever, a process for specializing. And we've talked on this podcast so much about specializing without getting into the actual detail. So this is just perfect. So let's get into that. But first, the first question I always ask is, what's the best thing that's happened to you this year?
I would have to say my son talking.
Oh, wow. Like,
that for me was like, I don't know. There's like unbelievable feelings for that, right? Like, I mean, that's why I've built the business that I have, so that I could see those moments and hear those moments and see first steps and such. And so to be able to like reach a goal, quote unquote, with my business, to be able to see that, that was the best thing so far this year.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think that's a common goal for a lot of people, you know, is they want to be able to spend more time with their family and stuff like that. I mean, I wouldn't know because I just got engaged. There you go. That you heard it, on the podcast first time. Congrats. Right there. Thank you.
You knocked over that first domino.
Yeah, literally been dating. It was 2 days before our 9-year anniversary. So, wow. I mean, we're practically married anyway. We have a house and stuff. So we're like, and a dog, all these things you can't really cut in half. So practically married anyway. Yeah, so cool. Then let's get into specialization. I'll over to you. I think, let you run with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I think most of your audience knows how the benefits of specializing and niching down your business or whatever you want to call it. And I learned the hard way with it, right? Like, I started freelancing in the early 2000s, full time. I got laid off, and a year and a half into that, I had to go get another job. But I was a very generalist developer, Ruby on Rails, Java development, you know, some custom PHP work, you know, .NET stuff. I mean, just all over the map.
Wow, right? I was the same. That's like almost exactly the same as where I came from.
and it was a hard pill to swallow because there was an ego there, you know, like I was like, I have the skill set. Like, I don't understand what happened here, where I went wrong, but I had bills to pay. So I wound up going back and getting a full-time job. But at the purpose of that for me was to learn sales, marketing, and all the business aspects of it. I was confident in the skills side of things, and which I did, right? I worked for a couple of agencies, real niche agencies, which the synapses didn't connect on that point, but but I learned what I learned that I could. And then 2010 is when I struck out again full time, right? I had all this information on sales and marketing and how to follow up with people and contracts and all these things that I wanted to learn. And so it was literally, I proposed to my wife in December. And this was about a year and a half, almost 2 years into the full-time thing. And I proposed to my wife. And then a month later, I told her that I had to go back and get a full-time job. And I was just like, what? I told her, I said, look, maybe this isn't for me. You know, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm getting burnt out. Like, you know, and same thing. You know, I was doing the same stuff, Ruby on Rails, custom PHP work, some WordPress stuff, Magento. Like, I was all over the map, right? And I felt like I was chasing my tail all the time and not really becoming an expert in anything and kind of hit a ceiling with a lot of stuff, and I was just tired of that chase. And she looked at me and said, but that's not what you want to do. I know that, and you know that, and we'll just figure it out. And I was just, I was floored. I was not expecting the person that I just proposed to, and we're going to build a life together and a family and all that other stuff, to say, don't get a job. I was just, I was floored. So, and she's the level-headed one, right? Like, I'm the risk taker, yep. Right? Like, she's very level-headed. So,
well, she just knows you well, I guess, right?
Yeah. She knows me forwards and back, right? Yeah. Like, and so I literally said, okay, well, if this person says that we'll figure it out, then I have to figure this out, right? Like, it's no other option. And yep. So for the next 4 nights, I literally sat on my couch for 4 to 6 hours every night after doing the work, after trying to get more projects, and after doing all that stuff, essentially writing down all these things in a notebook. I evaluated my business, what I was doing good, what I was doing bad, the customers that I wanted to work with, the customers I didn't want to work with, like grading them. Like, I mean, I went whole hog on self-reflecting, right? And what I didn't know then that I know now is that I was specializing my business. And for me, what I came out at the end of it was after basically a week of sitting on my couch at night, not sleeping and doing all this self-reflecting, was who I wanted to work with, who I didn't want to work with, and the types of projects that I wanted to work on. And it was based around, you know, the personalities that I enjoyed working with. It was the technology. It was the types of industries that I liked, you know, all of these things. And once I decided on that, and, you know, I gave it like a couple of weeks, I drew a line in the sand, and I basically said any new lead had to meet this criteria. Wow. And all of a sudden, rates went up, like projects came to my, you know, desk. I was getting so much more leads and work and all these other things that I said to my wife, I said, well, by the end of next year, I'm going to 10X my monthly revenue. and she looked at me because, you know, it was the new year and all that other stuff. And she goes, that seemed like, she asked me where I was, and you know, it wasn't much, right? But like, I wanted to 10X my monthly revenue. And she's like, that seems a little ambitious. And 6 months in, I had reached that goal. Damn. So it was like half that year, and I was shocked. Like, I was blown away. And for me, that's the key to everything, right? Like, I didn't have, you know, I read Philip Morgan's positioning manual. I read all of these books on trying to figure out how to specialize my business, you know, and nothing ever clicked until I guess I needed that support and that kick in the ass from, you know, my soon to be wife at that time, like to say, like, this, look,
make it work.
I love you. Right. Wow. And so what I've done on the heels of that, because a lot of people ask me about it and such, was try to figure out that framework.
Yeah.
And so,
just before we dig into that though, like, sure. I mean, I just kind of want to highlight that that's like the best, not like a reason to specialize right there. Obviously it's an N=1 type thing, but, I've heard this story so many times, right? And if anyone listening is still, you know, doing all the things for all the people, you know, it's pretty clear that this is just another story. You've heard this. If you've been listening for a while, you've heard this a bunch of times now. Like, specialization means higher rates. It's easier referrals for your clients because they, you know, you're just the guy that does X. If someone needs X, then they come to you. The other thing I wanted to quickly talk about is, like, people seem to have some reservations with specialization because, you know, they think they're going to throw away all this work or not get that work anymore. I think your story is a little different because you actually started saying no to other jobs, correct?
Right away. Yep.
Yeah.
Right away.
So, but some people don't, and it still works. You know, they just convert all their marketing to, let's say, I don't know, let's go the classic dentists, niche, you know, they say they do websites for dentists. They still get plenty of other jobs still coming in because people know they do websites. Right. They'll still say, look, there's a guy who does websites. He says for Dennis, but, you know, maybe talk to him anyway. So you don't, you're not necessarily cutting off your lead source just by specializing. That said, you might want to pretty quickly if it means bigger, better rates and, you know,
right.
And, you know, and exactly that industry.
And it's funny because I've heard that, like, you know, fear of leaving money on the table and all those other kind of terms. Mm. And it, like, you know, with coaching clients and other folks that I talk to, they say to me, like, how do I just draw that line in the sand? Like, I'll, you know, September 1 is when I'll do the new marketing. I'm like, well, if you know who you're serving, like, in July 30th, then why not just start today? Like, any lead that comes through, you know, why hold on to the past, so to speak?
Yeah.
And, you know, I get that whole, like, okay, I've specialized, but I could still do the other stuff too. The problem that I have with that is that you could easily take on another specialized client, learn more about that industry, learn more about the language that they use, learn more about the business end of that specialty, and become that go-to person for that space even quicker.
Yeah,
and
true that.
Command those higher rates. So that, for me, that's why I say just draw the line in the sand, go for it. Once you figure that out, you know, just start learning the language. I mean, that's like step one for me anyway, is like, how do they identify their problems? How do they talk about the solution that they're looking for? Mm. You know, what's their biggest pain point in their business that you can latch into that basically becomes become invaluable to their business? And that's how you kind of build that recurring revenue, right? Because once they realize the value that you're bringing to them, then bam, you've got them.
So you've taken some time out to reflect, which is also almost another topic, because I think everyone needs to do that in some layer. You know, I know people that time block 2 to 3 hours every Monday just to think about their business. For me, I just go for walks, like, you know, 2 out of 3 days with my dog for about an hour. And that's my thinking time, you know, all my zone out time. But because so many good things can come from just that, you know, just thinking about your business. So anyway, you've taken a step back. You've thought about it. Well, now what's this framework you've come up with?
Yeah. So I haven't given a good name yet, right? I just call it the four quadrants of niching down. And
it works.
All it is, you take out a sheet of paper, blank sheet of paper, and get away from the screen, because you kind of need the pen and paper kind of thing just to be able to jot things down, scribble things down, and basically draw a line down the middle once, vertically and then horizontally, right? So now you have four quadrants on that piece of paper. Then what you do is you take about 10 or 15 minutes, and in the upper left corner, all you do is just write down the projects and companies that you've worked for in the past, if you've had clients before, that you enjoy working with, that you want to work more with, that you want to find more projects like those things, and just the names. And so it's very simple, right? Like, don't write any reasons or nothing like that. Then on the other side, in the upper right quadrant, you basically do the reverse, right? So you write down any of the projects and clients and, you know, companies and industries that you don't want to work for, right? That you don't want to deal with. And again, take 10 or 15 minutes. Now, this whole thing takes about an hour to do, right? Because you really want that focus time and be able to do this. So once you do that, now you have the top half of your quadrants all filled out, right? Once you do that, then in the bottom left corner, you've got basically, look above it, right? Into the top left corner, and list out the reasons why you put those other things up there, right? So it could be you like the personality, you like the industry, you like the tech, you like the location. You know, think about the things of the reasons why you put that up there. They don't micromanage you. They're, you know, easy to sell, whatever it is, right? Mm. Whatever those reasons are, you kind of just jot them all down. And then in the final quadrant, basically do the reverse, right? So again, you put the reasons why you put those things up in the top. Talk about, you know, well, they micromanage me, right? I don't like doing subcontracting work because I'm not talking to the client. I have to go through a middleman. I'm not in control of billing, you know, all these things. You basically put all of those things on that thing. Once you have that sheet, walk away from it, from the day, go to bed, whatever it is, right? Come back the next day. You look at it, read through it, make sure all of the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. Make sure you didn't miss anything that's obvious. You might want to add a couple of more reasons because now your brain is a little bit more clear on that.
Yeah, and you probably woke up at 2 a.m. with an idea that you had to write down.
Sure, yeah, 100%. But what you have there on that sheet of paper now is in the bottom half is your checklist for the next client that comes across your desk. They don't meet all the things on the left or a good portion of the things on the left, and they tick off a couple of the boxes on the right, you don't work with them, right? But you can also see some of the things that by reading between the lines too. So when I just did this with a coaching client last week, and you know, we read between the lines of what she was talking about. And she had things like she didn't like to be micromanaged. She liked the client to know what their budget was before talking with them. Because she had a small agency. She liked certain types of professional businesses. So like lawyers and doctors and those kind of things. but on the other side, she didn't like small business. Like she didn't like, you know, quote unquote, Main Street USA boutique kind of places, right? Like, yep. And all these other things, right? So when you look at the qualities there, the reasons why you put there. So if you take hers, for example, now you're only targeting professionals, right? Like you're looking for, you know, things in which businesses in which deal with professionals. So she didn't mention she enjoyed working with other agencies. So I said, well, you can find agencies within that niche, right? That only deal with, you know, doctors and lawyers and all those kind of professions. Some of the other things that, you read between the lines were, well, hey, if they understand their budget and all that, then they're not a startup, right? Because they've probably allocated a certain amount of budget for projects that you would fulfill for them. So you know, you could start to kind of unpack and peel away the layers of the onion, so to speak, there to try to really figure out what your niche is. and like when I did this, it was all about e-commerce, WordPress, and which at the time I was lucky because I picked WooCommerce at the time. at the time, there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
I picked WooCommerce and it was working with established online businesses. I didn't want to essentially work on a project that somebody thought about at their barbecue in their backyard over the weekend, right? And thought that they could just throw up a store and become Amazon.com. So I wanted to work
with an established business. I want you to replicate Uber and I have $1,500.
Exactly right. But for me, it was, I wanted them to understand the pains of what goes on behind e-commerce because a lot of people don't get it. They just think they put up products and that's it. There's a lot of things with shipping and taxes and all these other things that go involved with all of that stuff. And I wanted them to understand that stuff 100%. So doing the quadrants lays it out in black and white right there with the knowledge that you already have. So you don't have to like think about, you know, these rah-rah kind of things like, oh yeah, I want to work for nonprofits or, you know, I want to, you know, do good for the world. No, you have a set sort of projects that you like and don't like and types of people that you like and don't like. And let's distill that stuff down and try to come up with like a checklist of 5 to 10 items that you do that they have to pass and 5 to 10 items that you will use as red flags moving forward for any leads that come to you.
Yeah, this is bloody good. I had something I was just going to say, but I completely forgot it. But as I always tend to do, It's really hard. I feel like I need to take notes and listen at the same time so I remember to bring things up, but then I can't listen because I'm taking notes. I hate this. Anyway. But oh, that's what it was. The ability to, like, doing this gives you the ability to skill up in a few select areas, you know, which is probably why you can command higher rates, because you get really good at specific skill sets for that particular industry, right? Like, we were talking just about e-commerce there. Like, if you're trying to do an e-commerce site and all you've done before is like 5-page brochure websites, you're probably not up to speed on, you know, the best table rate shipping plugins or abandoned cart systems and stuff like that, which are things that are going to add so much value to your client.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I had always loved e-commerce from the get-go when I was even doing, you know, J2E stuff back in the late 90s and early 2000s. So for me, that was that was easy, but I didn't realize until I did this exercise that I didn't want to build them from scratch anymore. I just wanted them to understand the pain points, and I can improve their business through, you know, like you're saying, shopping cart abandonment and all these other things. So going through this exercise, and I've done this four times in my business. Three times it's actually paid off. The fourth time it was something, it just kind of like deviated off. Like, you know, for me, it wasn't going to work for the business. So, it's an exercise that I've done time and time again now. And I've had other people go through this as well. And it's, yeah, every time somebody does it, it's always the same reaction. It's like, holy cow, I'd never thought about doing that before. And we were talking about lead gen, but once you have that, then it's easier to go out there and essentially laser focus in on who you want to work with, right? Like, especially if technology is, and I wasn't, when I did this the first time around, I would say probably 30% of my business was WordPress, and even a smaller percentage was WooCommerce. So for me, it was, you know, the reason why I latched on to WordPress was because of what the customers were asking me for. Right. They will, they wanted, and they weren't asking me for WordPress, but they wanted basically a way into managing their store, their posts, their pages and such. And at the time I was building Ruby on Rails CMSs every 6 months. And I was just like, I can't keep doing this. Yeah. So WordPress is that's the solution that I can give them. So
absolutely. Yeah. So, and you briefly started touching on it there with like, when you're niched in, that laser focus, because then we can start using the language and all that sort of stuff to speak exactly to that target industry. But I think we'll get into that in the next episode, because I think we're going to have to split this guy up, because, you know, obviously specialization and lead gen are two like epic topics. So I think we should specialize our podcast into one topic. but with the specialization process, is there anything you see like people screwing up a lot if they try to do it themselves or whatever, like without help?
I think you do need a fresh set of eyes at times, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so you do need that time to self-reflect, because nobody else knows you. Nobody else knows the projects that you enjoy the most or the hiccups that you've had with clients and things like that. So you need that self-reflection time. But then once you kind of have that in black and white kind of thing, you know, you could use your spouse, your partner, your, you know, friend, right? Your business partner, you know, to say, hey, look, I've kind of, and you can say, look, I've done this exercise. Can you just take a look at this and let me know what you think about this, right? And they're going to come out with new ideas, right? They're going to say like, okay, well, I see point A, B, and C here on, have you thought about trying this kind of industry, right? So like, to have that fresh set of eyes on there goes a long way with with being able to, you know, help you in figuring it out, because, you know, you can only work in a silo for so long, right? Like, you can, I mean, as a freelancer, I'm a solo business owner, but, you know, I have trusted friends that I go to, trusted colleagues that I go to be able to, who really know and understand who I am and what I'm trying to accomplish with my life. So you need those kind of sounding boards in your journey, so to speak, right? Whether it is somebody close or whether you get a business mentor or something like that, but to be able to have those things, that's where the growth really happens.
Absolutely. All right, cool. So I want to dig into lead generation in another episode, like I mentioned. So I think we might cut this off there, unless there's something else you want to add about around the specialization.
The only thing is, and you touched a little bit about it before, is like the fears that people have with it.
Right? Oh,
like,
yeah.
So I spoke with Sarah Dunn on my podcast, and you know, she has that epic YouTube channel where she's documenting her journey on specializing her business. And what we talked about was like, when you're a generalist and you see other people talking about specialization, it looks like this tropical island that you can't get to, that nobody knows how to get there and such. And you want to be there, but you're still stuck over here because you have bills to pay, you have all these things, right? So the thing that I wanted to mention about the fears is, one, you kind of have to get out of your own head a little bit. And that's hard. I mean, that's hard for me. I'm always in my head. My wife even says, like, you know, you never stop thinking. Like,
I think that's pretty common with most entrepreneurial types, eh?
yeah, definitely. And so you kind of have to realize that and take a step back a little bit and recognize the fears are there, recognize that you have bills to pay and that you have to be, you know, you've got to be leaving money on the table and such. But those fears are excuses. And it doesn't mean that by doing this new way of business or new leads or new venture inside of your business, it doesn't mean that you can't go back. But if you don't try to move forward because of those fears, then, you know, how are you going to grow, right? So a lot of people I talk to, they say, well, okay, now I've had this business for a number of years and I have all these clients. I mean, am I going to just shut those clients off? And like, no, you have to fulfill the deliverables that you told them. But any new work coming into your business, take the next 5 leads and put them through that vetting process. See what shakes out of that, right? Now, mind you, any referrals that you get are going to be the old business, like you were saying before about, like, if you decide to go dentists, but you still do websites, well, the people that you did a website for, they're going to refer you the work that you did for them, right? So you have to be mindful of that. So try the new ways. Go out and especially in the tech game, like, there's so many tools out there nowadays where if you like a certain technology, you go to builtwith.com. And search for that technology. Yeah. And it'll give you a list of domains. You know, just go find a couple that you could reach out to. But try to vet a couple of new leads into your business through this process and say, look, in the next 30 days, I want to land 2 clients that are of the new business. And just do it, right? Like, don't let the fear and anxiety and all that stuff, especially if you have business already. Sure, you may take a little hit that month in the revenue because you're not doing that chasing down and such. But hey, I'm telling you, if somebody had told me from the time that I told my wife that I was going to go full time to I guess about 8 months into the future that I was going to 10x my revenue, I would have thought they were crazy. I would have been like, "What's wrong with you? There's no way that that's going to happen." So, it's. You have to get out of your way a little bit. Just do it. Like, you know, I hate to use the Nike slogan there, but you kind of just have to do it. But, you can't lose anything, especially if that's, you feel stuck, right? Like, you're not losing anything by trying something new, especially if it's where you want to go.
Absolutely. I was just thinking too, with the like current clients referring you, you know, work that you probably don't want anymore. You could probably use that as an excuse not that you need an excuse to contact your clients, but, you know, as a broadcast to all your past and current clients that, you know, this is the sort of area we're moving into now. And that might even lead to some of your ideal referrals, like immediately, because they're going to think, oh, I know someone in that space, maybe.
And that's part of all that lead gen.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm like, you're probably going to mention this when we talk about lead gen. I've just ruined it. All right.
Well, okay, it's a tease into the next one, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, let's do it then. Let's cut that off now, because we want to keep this like manageable chunks for people anyway. So you've got something to go and do this next week, your four quadrants. And I totally wrote down fears are excuses as your quote from the episode, because that's awesome. Oh man, I have a lot of excuses then. Anyway, guys, thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a review, or share it with anyone you think would get something out of it. Make sure you join us for part two, lead generation, with Jason's lead generation system. And if you want to find out more about Jason in the meantime, where would you like to send them, Jason?
You can head over to res.com. That's with three Z's.
Three Z's.
That's where best thing to do is just hop on my newsletter there. And I write two times a week and what I'm doing, what working, what's not working, basically learning out loud.
Yeah, sweet. And jump on the Ask Res three Z's podcast and Live in the Feast podcast as well. All right. Awesome. Thanks again. And I'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.